Okay. Okay, let's start. My name is Thomas. I work at SAP, like my two predecessors, and I'm going to talk about Metaspace. I've been working with GVMs for about 15 years at SAP, and I've worked on and off with the Metaspace in the last maybe 4 years. I've contributed a number of patches, and I thought it's actually a nice topic for a talk. Some legalese. Okay, why do we even care? The thing is, Metaspace is kind of a bit of a dusty and forgotten corner of the VM, and so there are more exciting topics usually. But the thing is, Metaspace can actually contribute quite a bit to memory consumption, to non-Java heap memory consumption within the JVM. So it pays to actually look from time to time at it and to look whether we can improve things. And the answer is yes, we can improve things within reason. Some basics first. Metaspace is a region is a memory region within the hotspot VM, which contains class metadata. Very shortly, class metadata is basically everything contained within the class file, sucked up and digested by the VM and rolled out into runtime for easy consumption by the VM. And things like constant pool methods, annotations, but also purely runtime stuff like JIT profile counters and so on. Really enough, not for instance a code cache, which would be kind of a candidate for Metaspace, but it isn't there. So all this stuff used to live in the Java heap, like in ancient times, in something called the permanent generation. And this had a number of disadvantages. One thing is that it was kind of difficult for users to configure correctly. So it was difficult to size, and because it has an inbuilt limit. I mean, it couldn't grow beyond the size of the permanent generation. And another thing is that it was difficult to work with. Hotspot engineers had problems with it because it used to move around, because GC gets compacted, it's not address stable. So, and then it was decided at some point in time to move all that stuff to native memory. And this was inspired by JRocket VM, which had been acquired some time before by Oracle. And so this was the JEP 122 remove permanent generation. And so that was the birth of the Metaspace. And we have been involved since quite a while in Metaspace development, mainly because SAP has customers which tend to have large installation, like large monolithic installation, which do a lot of class loading and unloading. And so we had all the sweet spots of Metaspace and had a lot of issues in the beginning, especially the JDK 8. And so we contributed quite a bit of work to the Metaspace and improved Metas, especially in JDK 11. And also provide a number of analysis tools. And all this work culminated in a way with JDK 15 in a rewrite we did, which has not been published yet, but I will talk about this presently. Okay, to understand Metaspace, it's difficult to understand the life cycle. Metadata are allocated when class are loaded, which is not really that surprising and exciting. The more important metadata are tied from a lifetime are tied to the loading class loader. So all metadata get released when the class loader is collected, which means that we actually have a byte delete scenario, which makes things a lot simpler. There are some exceptions to these rules, for instance, class redefinition, and you have to throw away old bytecode and stuff. But that's the uncommon path. That's not what Metaspace is designed for. So, which brings us to the question, why actually bother writing a custom MET allocator? I mean, we could use like a general purpose allocator like malloc or so. And the basic answer is because we think we can do better. And because we have a byte delete scenario, we can get away with arena style allocation, which is actually pretty fast and very memory efficient. And we do not have to track individual allocations for the purpose of freeing them. So a general purpose allocator is actually not the bad fit because it does a lot of work which we don't have to do. And especially in the case of malloc, there are different cases against malloc. And one thing is that we couldn't do compressed class space. I will come shortly to this. And we also have platform specific limitations with malloc. So compressed class space. I see this in block entries and so on. I see this often confused with Metaspace. It's not the same. Compressed class space is actually only a part of Metaspace and not even a very large one at that. And it's an optimization we do for 64-bit platforms and only exists there and can also be switched off. The story is like this. So we have a Java object, which lives in a heap, and it has a header. Part of this header is a pointer, which points to a class in Metaspace, which in a structure in Metaspace, a native structure, which is called class, really written with K, and contains the central metadata for this class and stuff like vtable, itable, so it's also variable sized. And on 64-bit, this pointer is 8-byte, which is kind of annoying because it uses up space. So we reduce the size to 32-bit, which saves per Java object 4 bytes, which is actually good and can save Java heap about 5 to 8%, depending on how many Java objects and in what small granularity you actually have. So the 32-bit index is actually an index into a pre-arranged memory range, which contains, which of course has to contain now all the class structures, and also may contain the shared classes if CDS is enabled. So the way the class pointer is calculated, this would give us in theory a range of 32 gigabyte, but the compressed class space size is actually limited to 3 gigabyte max artificially. So this brings us to the fact that Metaspace consists of two parts. The one thing is the compressed class space, which has to be, of course, reserved when the VM comes up. And into the compressed class space go all the class structures. And the compressed class space is committed on demand. And because we have to reserve it when the VM comes up, we need, of course, to know its size. So and this is the compressed class space size switch, which by default is 1 gigabyte. This is only reserved space, so I will not explain the difference between reserved and committed because I assume you guys know this. I mean, on most modern platforms, reserved size doesn't really cost that much, or anything at all, actually. So depending on how the page table is implemented. So with 1 gigabyte, in general, each class structure is on average 1K sized, and this is a good size. So, okay. So in general, with 1 gigabyte, you have space for about 1 million classes, which is enough usually. So everything else, everything which is not a class structure, goes into the non-class metaspace, which is a chain of memory mappings, which grows on demand, is committed on demand, and so on. And note that this is a bit of a misnomer. The compressed class space is neither compressed nor is it really the sole container for class data. And non-class metaspace is also not really non-class, but it is what it is. Current implementation, I will speed a bit through this. Very much simplified. As we have said, we have a byte delete scenario. Every loader has a chunk of memory, which can vary in size between 1K, 64K, and so on, and usually also much larger. And we allocate from this with very cheap, very efficient pointer bump. So when someone wants to have a constant pool from us of 15 bytes, we point 15 bytes is not much. So let's say 100 bytes. So we bump the top pointer by 100 bytes. So, and then we accumulate a series of chunks which are full or almost full, and they can get a chain to so-called retired chunks. And this means that when we have several loaders, each loader accumulates a series of chunks, and these chunks are carved out of the metaspace in the order they are allocated usually, and which means that that metaspace fills with chunks which belong to different loaders, which potentially different lifetimes, which is what I call actually metaspace fragmentation. Note also that if you think you only have one loader, and this is usually not correct because the VM also creates like tiny loaders for reflection glue code or for things like inner classes for lambdas, they get all over the way. So when a loader dies and is collected, its chunks are marked as free and added to a free list. And they may be reused in the future. If you resume class loading, if you never do, this is wasted memory. Basically wasted memory. This is very much simplified. The whole design is way more intricate, but this is like the gist of it. The problem is the current implementation is the following. Free list can get really huge. We have seen customers like used to free ratios of 1 to 3, which means like we have of I don't know, only a quarter of the memory allocated actually for Metaspace is actually used for Metaspace. This is what actually worse in JDK 8. It has to be somewhat mitigated with JDK 11, which is, by the way, a good reason to upgrade. But it's far from perfect. So another thing is intra-chunk waste, which can make up between 2 and actually 15%, which is also kind of annoying. Basically, if you have a loader, typically every loader at some point in time stops loading classes, and the remainder of its current chunk is wasted. And the problem gets worse the smaller grained the loaders actually are. So this is an example for the first problem. We are not really elastic at all. So I mean, we if we have a spike in Metaspace usage, we do not really recover from it. So as we can see, we load a bunch of classes, and then we release them in batches of 4. This is an example in 4 batches. And as you can see, the committed space, which is the blue line, doesn't really budge at all until maybe 4/5 of all the loaders are really released. This is really bad. Like in this case, we have like retained 3/4 of the memory is actually in free list and idles around. And you can see this, for instance, with our command we added and Red Hat also helped was with J command via Metaspace, which weirdly enough is not really that well known, even not at Oracle, which is kind of weird. And we contributed this command for JDK 11, which shows a lot of fine-grained details about the Metaspace. If you want to look at Metaspace details, this is the thing to do. Shows basically class loader, class loaders, classes, the whole occupation, the chunk geometry, and everything. And it has a nice waste section, as you can see here. So you can see at one glance where waste occurs. So as a Java programmer, you usually kind of do something. It's basically you can stare helplessly at these numbers. But for hotspot engineers, it's good because we know where to optimize. Okay. So last year, we were thinking about this, and I was kind of unhappy with the state of affairs. I was kind of thinking about re-implementing this. I was thinking about re-implementing this, and so I did this as a kind of coding exercise, and the basic idea is that we try to make Metaspace way more elastic by uncommitting the chunks in the free list. I mean, the thing is, we cannot do anything about fragmentation. We cannot move this stuff. It has to be address stable, so we cannot compact. However, what we can do is when the chunks are in free list, have a certain size, we can basically decommit the memory below the chunks, which is especially good when you have large contiguous free ranges. And a spin-off of this idea is actually that we can delay committing chunks until they are really used. I mean, that's that has a lot of that helps with intra-chunk waste actually. So I won't go into details because time is running away. The thing is, one main concern with decommitting memory is you do not want to do this in a too fine granular fashion, because this increases the number of virtual memory areas, which, for instance, in the case of Linux, means that the performance of kernel memory management may suffer because VMA lookup gets slower and so on. And we also may hit certain process limits. So this is something to keep an eye on. So we introduced something called commit granules. So where today we have basically a contiguous area of committed stuff, we divide the memory range into commit granules and to so-called commit granules of adjustable sizes. This was mainly to play around with sizes, yeah? So to be open for whatever comes. We also had to improve the chunk allocation scheme. It's currently really unused and unsuitable for decommitting. So first thing I did was replacing the current allocation scheme with 1K, 4K, 64K chunk sizes with Power2 based body allocation scheme, which is basically a very old, venerable algorithm, like 70 years old. And the cool thing is that it's really very easy and very cheap to split and merge chunks. It's an old algorithm, everyone knows this. And it has a very low external fragmentation. So you can really, you arrive at you have a high chance of at arriving at contiguous free areas, which then are good targets for uncommitting. And it also doesn't hurt that it's a good standard algorithm, everyone knows it, so it's good for maintenance. And deallocation works like this. Someone gives back a chunk and releases a chunk to the allocator, and we merge it with their buddies and with their buddies recursively until you either arrive at the largest possible chunk size or you cannot merge anymore. And this works actually quite well. So one thing was that chunks had headers and headers needed to go. The reason for that is if you have a header, you cannot decommit the page where the header is in, which it does not only cost memory, but also, even more importantly, increases fragmentation, because you have like a fence page like at every chunk, which is kind of annoying. So we removed the chunk headers and put them somewhere else. And now the whole chunk is payload, can completely decommit it in one go. And even more importantly, you have like swathes of chunks. If you have like swathes of three chunks, you can decommit them all. And basically, at the operating system level, you only have like one contiguous free virtual memory area struct. So, okay, so these concepts work very well together. The funny thing is they are kind of independent. So there are not many chunks and granules. There are not many dependencies, so we can actually change one implementation or the other and do not affect the whole thing at all. So I think the design is quite robust. So as you can see, like one chunk can span multiple granules, and multiple chunks can be contained within one granule. The only condition we have is that all the sizes are power 2 sizes. And it works like this. So we have, if someone frees a chunk and we fuse it with the neighboring chunks and reach a size which is one commit granule or more, we can actually decommit the underlying memory. And this is good. So we actually return this memory to the operating system. Similarly, when we have a large chunk which covers multiple commit granules, we can actually give this chunk completely uncommitted or only partly committed over to a loader, and then he can commit it as he goes. So if he does power to bump allocation, and if the pointer, the top pointer moves into a new commit granule, that new commit granule gets committed only when needed. I think let's speed through this. So we have seen this before. This was bad. And this is now the result. Basically, this is really, really elastic. Yeah? Same example, patched VM. As we can see, we do not retain any memory at all. This is also a bit tunable. If we want to retain memory for any reason, we could do. But I do not see actually a reason why we would want to. It's way better to give this memory back to the operating system to be reused somewhere else, or maybe somewhere else and within our own process, instead of only earmarking it for this one case, and maybe someone does class loading. This is the difference between stock VM, patched VM, JDK 14, dark blue stock, light blue patched. As we can see, we save about 250 megabytes here. Nice is also that the spike is not as high, so we also save, even if with no class unloading involved, we save a little bit. This is because we have done some optimizations. The code is just better. Yes, I mean we have tighter memory packing and stuff. RSS, just this. Okay.
I think it may be this one. Can you try to turn it off? Maybe it's the battery. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the battery. Try that.
Yeah. Okay, you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. This is RSS, just to show that I don't lie and I don't have hidden somewhere memory. Okay, so this is the outside view. Bottom line, the result of our work at the moment, the work is not finished, but basically Metaspace is now elastic, which is a good thing for large monolithic applications which do a lot of class unloading. And we also see a modest decrease in consumption, as I had shown before, even if without mass class unloading, between 1% and maybe 10%. These are all examples which are very, very simple and which don't do much at all. This is still ongoing work. We still have a lot of ideas to follow through. Let's see how it goes. I also think that the coding is overall way better. I mean, it's way better maintainable long term, I think. So how do we go? Patch is stable. I think it needs a little bit more TLC, but I think it's okay. It lives in a JDK sandbox directory repository. And everyone can build it and play around with it. I did made a Jeff with it currently in draft state called Elastic Metaspace. I'm not really sure whether this is actually the right vehicle for this kind of work, but I did it. It's there. So I would really love very much to get this into JDK 15.
The problem is that it's quite difficult to bring such a large patch upstream into the OpenGDK if you don't work at Oracle. But let's see. I will try. And finally, yeah. Finally, it's a good candidate actually for backporting, I think, because honestly, I mean, Metaspace role is somewhat diminished in modern VMs because we have CDS and stuff like that. But like in older VMs like JDK 8 and JDK 11, which are actually mostly used like in large legacy scenarios where you don't have microkernels, microservices and stuff, but large installations, I think that would be very good. And especially in JDK 8, it would make a lot of sense. So, of course, I'm at the mercy of the maintainers, so let's see. Okay, thank you. Any follow-up questions? I'm reachable in various means. And yeah.
We've got a couple of minutes. It's going to be a bit awkward with only one microphone. You'll have to repeat the questions. But does anybody have anything to ask? Well, you've won.
Yeah. Oh, that's a question.
So, first, great talk.
Will there be like a pause time cost for doing this uncommitting? I know we've seen that when we uncommit heap memory.
Sorry, I don't understand you.
Will there be a pause time cost for this
uncommitting? I guess the uncommit is done in the pause.
I don't think that much. We didn't see any differences. I did like very micro.